So glad to see you in the house of God. We are glad that you are here. Let's welcome in those that are joining us online, our friends all over the world. Come on with a big round of applause. Welcome, 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 welcome. I think God's got some great things in store for us as we dig into his word this morning. Maybe fall is here. Come on. Finally, we thought we were going to skip straight from summer to winter, but we actually got 3 or 4 days of fall. Praise God, that means hunting season is here, football season is here. Come on, somebody. Me and my dog have both grown out our winter coat. And all of your relatives have gone home, praise God. Some gas prices are down. What more do you want, right? We've got a lot to be thankful for. Thank God grandma went home. Just kidding. Come on, you're probably the grandma. You're like, they love you, grandma. Just Benjamin Franklin said, fish and company stink after 3 days. That's enough. It's time to go to your house. No, we're glad that you're here this morning. Open up your Bible, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to continue on with our series called Overwhelmed, specifically dealing with what happens when life gives you lemons, what happens when life becomes problematic, what happens when you're pushed to your limit, when people are tap dancing at the end of your last nerve, what happens when your prayers don't get answered, what happens when the things that you were counting on fall through, what happens when you have too much month at the end of the money, and those moments where you get overwhelmed, where you're filled with fear, anxiety, dread. What do you do in those moments? Now, it's easy for us to say as Christians, especially on Sunday morning, what I do is I go right to the Word of God, I get all the answers that I need, and I just coast through those times. But I would bet that there are a few people in this room that would say, that's not always the truth. Am I right? Sometimes in those moments, we find out what we're really made of. We find out in those critical, pressure-packed moments that our walk with God is not quite what we thought it was. That perhaps our strength and our faith is starting to fade. And I'm thankful that in those moments, when I get overwhelmed, that the Bible doesn't hide the fact that there are some powerful, powerful people in God's word that were very human, that made some big mistakes. They got afraid. They got depressed. They got stressed out. They got tired. They got broken down. They got hurt. I'm thankful that the Bible doesn't hide those people from us. I had an opportunity this week to get really overwhelmed. And I'm just going to confess my humanity at this point. I went on a pig hunt with some buddies from the church, and we had a great time. But we went to a place where there was not just a few pigs. I'm talking about a lot of pigs. Now, I'm not just talking about the pigs that you probably saw on grandma's farm. I'm talking about wild boar. And there's a big difference between a pig and a wild boar, and that's called aggressiveness and meanness. So those are my favorite things to shoot. You can shoot them in the face. I love it. That's how I get rid of a lot of frustration and anxiety. Shoot something in the face. You don't have to go to jail for it. It's wonderful. I would highly recommend it. So I'm sitting here, and I remember as they dropped me off one evening, they said, we're going to come back and pick you up when the sun goes down. Well, the sun went down, and they wasn't coming to pick me up. And I wish I could say that I was in a nice box stand, you know, a little tiny home in the middle of the prairie. No. I was sitting with my back up against a tree in a chair, with a little piece of wood right in front of me, and pigs were all around me. And so I'd already shot one pig, and I couldn't shoot more unless I was willing to pay for it. And I thought, I'm still a little cheap. I'm not going to pay for a bunch of these, but they're everywhere. And so as soon as the sun goes down, I turn on my little light and start looking around, and the jungle is glowing with eyes. They're everywhere. And they're closing in, and they're getting closer. And I'm a manly man. I'm fine. I've got a gun. I've got actually two guns. Not going to lie. They say you can take one. I took two. One's right here on my hip, and I'm like, hey, come closer, and I will send you to the light, pig. But it got darker and darker and darker until this place. I mean, we're in Sweetwater, Texas, which is the rattlesnake capital of the world. Don't even get me started on rattlesnakes. And I got these pigs that are moving in closer and closer to the place where you can hear their stomachs grumbling. That's how close we were. Now, in those moments when it gets dark and when you can't see, your mind begins to do things to you that you didn't think it could do. My imagination takes a huge turn, and they just turn from little pigs into dinosaurs. You know, it's a bunch of woolly mammoths out here looking to eat me. And I thought, man, where are they? And so as the minutes keep going, I'm thinking, they forgot me. They left me out here. I don't know where I am. I can't make it back. It's the middle of the night. It is pitch black dark here. I am surrounded by these wild pigs. They're getting closer and closer. And I can hear them, literally hear them. They are within feet from me. And I'm just like, Oh, Jesus. And I'm thinking, okay, now, I love my kids. Maybe I should just text my kids and tell them I love them because it's over with. I'm just done. They're going to find me in about 3 days. Just a pile of camouflage clothes and a beard. That's all they're not going to eat. Jesus, come take me now. And I got a little overwhelmed. And finally, you know, I see the truck coming to pick me up. And I'm like, okay, great. You know, I wiped the tears away from my face. You know, I climbed down from the tree that I climbed. No, I'm just kidding. They picked me up, and I asked the guy that was owning the ranch, and I said, hey, Bryce, has there ever been anybody that, you know, made some really dumb decisions or freaked out? He goes, oh, yeah, all the time, especially where you were. I said, really? He said, yeah, because you're like the last one that we pick up, so it takes a lot longer to get to you. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I guess that would freak out a lesser man. I said, no, it takes a while to get to you. He said, but we had a guy one time that got out there and got so scared that he emptied his whole clip, shot all the bullets that he had, just at random things because they're freaking him out, ended up climbing on top of the deer feeder trying to get away. I thought, yeah, that guy's crazy. I'm nowhere near him, you know. Can't believe some people would freak out like that. But in my mind, I was about 30 minutes short of doing the same thing. Like, get me out. I'm out. I'm out. We are way too far out in the jungle. It's way too dark. I don't have enough bullets. In those moments, I wonder, what do you do when life begins to surround you like that, when things start closing in? I found that in these moments of great pressure and anxiety and fear, Christians make a lot of stupid choices. We do a lot of dumb things. We turn our back on the Lord. We turn our back on our friends. We withdraw from church. We start saying and doing dumb things. I'm thankful that I can turn to God's word in the times of great doubt and being overwhelmed and realize that God doesn't hide the humanity of some powerful people from me, but it gives me hope. It gives me hope. And I'm hoping that as we dig into this, to our scriptures together this morning, that God will give you hope too if you find yourself in the same place. Maybe you're there. Maybe you're not there yet, but let me just tell you, at some point in your life, you're going to be there. You're going to find yourself overwhelmed. You're going to find yourself stressed out, anxiety-ridden. It's going to happen. Be more positive. Well, I'm positive. It's going to happen. What do you do in those moments? 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 is where we're basing this series, and it says, we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters. And I love that he puts that phrase in there. He's saying, you got to know this. I'm not trying to hide it from you. You need to be informed about this. It says about all the troubles that we experience in the province of Asia. So you mean following after God means you're still going to have trouble? Yes, absolutely. You're going to have trouble. It's called spiritual warfare. Welcome to it. It says we were under great pressure far beyond our ability to endure, so we despaired even of life itself. I wanted to die, Paul says. I love his honesty in that moment. I couldn't handle it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't take it anymore. I was like, just take me, Jesus. I'm ready to go home. So the past couple of weeks, we've talked about what happens when you get overwhelmed. What happens when you get stressed out and at the end of your rope? I found that I asked myself three questions, and number one is it sin? God, is this happening to me? Am I stressed out because I've been disobedient to you? Or is this spiritual warfare? You know, am I doing the right thing, but I'm finding that attacks are coming because I'm now a threat to the enemy? Or is it just stupidity? I did some dumb things, and now I'm reaping what I sowed, right? And usually I can find the heart of God in one of those three areas. I can repent, I can make better decisions, or I can say, okay, God, help me to persevere. Help me to endure because this is hard. Last week we talked about using our resources well. Sometimes life gets hard because you're not using the things that God has given you to use. This week I want to go a little bit deeper, and I want to hopefully get honest with ourselves. Let's take a good, open, honest look at who we are when life gets too much to handle. And hopefully we can find ourselves there and find the truth in God's word that will give us some hope and help. The first thing I want you to write down is this. How do I know if I'm overwhelmed? How do I know if I'm about to burn out? How do I know if I've got too much on my plate? How do I know when I'm overwhelmed? And number one is I can't seem to prioritize because there's just too much. And I find this to be true with me. I'm not sure what's important anymore. I'm not sure where to start. I can't prioritize what's most important. Everything is critical. So I just kind of just sit down and quit. Got too much on my plate. I don't know where to prioritize. Don't know how to get started. Second thing I found when I'm overwhelmed is that sleep and time off doesn't refuel me. You might take a week's vacation, but the entire vacation, you're worried about what's waiting for you on Monday morning when you get back. You go to sleep, but the whole time you're dreaming about things that you didn't get done while you were supposed to be sleeping. You ever been there? Where sleep and time off doesn't refuel you. Number three, lack of passion for anything. I found that the things that used to make me happy don't make me happy anymore. The things I used to be passionate about, the things that used to relax me, they're not working because I'm overwhelmed. Things I should love, I have to pretend to be interested in. Number four is self-medicating. Now, I wish that we could say in this room full of Christians that there are no self-medicating Christians when life gets tough. Let me just tell you, that's a bunch of bull. From food to drinking, pornography, these are when these things get out of control. Life gets overwhelming. We start doing dumb things. We start trying to find peace in substances rather than in the presence of God. I've been guilty of it, and I would be willing to bet that so have you. I don't think there's a single person in this room that can look down our noses at someone else when they're walking through a tough time and say, oh, I did everything right. There's a reason why God calls it perseverance, because sometimes life gets hard, and it's hard to put one foot in front of the other and to keep going. We do dumb things. And just because the rest of the world handles stress like that doesn't make it healthy. Just because the rest of the world will go to a bar and drink themselves until they black out, is that the right way to handle it? Isn't there a better way? I think when we start relying on substances to bring us peace, we miss the most beautiful part of walking through trials. And that's where we learn to depend upon God, learn to throw ourselves upon His grace and upon His goodness instead of trying to rely upon our own strength and get peace from somewhere else. Number five, I get unproductive. There might be a lot of activity, might be a lot of busyness, but nothing's really getting done. Number six, please don't elbow anyone, but I get critical or irritable with everybody. I hate you. I don't like you. I don't like her perfume. His breath stinks. I don't like the way she dresses. I can't believe she even sat by me at church. Like, well, it's your wife. I mean, where's she supposed to sit? Irritable, critical of everybody. I don't like that song. I can't believe she wore that. It becomes one criticism after the next. I've been there. Have you been there? Let's be honest with ourselves for just a moment. A lot of times when I get overwhelmed, I start getting critical. Start pointing fingers. It's your fault. I don't like you. I don't like you. You're cool. You're all right. I don't like you. My attitude goes bad and my words follow. The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when your heart's going bad, the next thing that flows is your words. Here it comes. Critical spirit. A lot of times that's rooted in the pride of doing too much. Having too much on your plate. Not learning how to let some things go. Let me give you some warning signs that I see in my own life. You may not have seen these, but this is what happens with me. I get really short answers. Good. Fine. Or how about this one? Whatever. One word answers. PT, what do you think about this? Whatever. Don't care. Good. What about this one? If you want to. Let me just give you a nickel's worth of free advice, gentlemen. If she says that, you're in trouble. That does not mean you have permission. It sounds like it, but nothing could be further from the truth. See, when guys say, if you want to, it means if you want to. When a woman says, if you want to, that means you better not. Stick with me, I'll learn you. My answers get short. Number two, I have uncontrolled thoughts about sin. Can't seem to make it stop. It's over and over in my mind. I'm not winning the battle anymore in my mind because I'm overwhelmed. Uncontrolled thoughts about sin. Don't look at me like that. You do it too. Yeah, you do. Let's be honest with ourselves for just a moment. What happens when you get overwhelmed? You start thinking dumb things. Then I get a negative attitude. And I found this, the warning signs for that are people start asking me over and over, are you okay? What's wrong? And these are the signs that the people that love me are telling me, you're not usually like this. When you find the people that you love asking you over and over, are you okay? There should be some warning signs that perhaps you're not. Maybe life's gotten a little overwhelming for you. And if you can be honest in that moment, we can find hope. But if you keep giving short answers and a negative attitude, you're going to keep getting yourself buried. It gets worse. This is where you go from positive Paula to negative Nancy. I found also that all I do is I'm entertaining thoughts about quitting, moving, starting over. Want to quit? Got to move, got to start over. I'm going to quit this job, I'm going to start over somewhere else. What I have to remember in that moment is that when I get to wherever I'm going, I'm still there. My troubles don't end because I can't outrun me. It's a personal problem. I believe in those moments that if I just left it all and started over, that things would be great. And I get this utopian world mindset of things were much better. Like the children of Israel, things were much better when I was a slave. This is where wonderful Christians do stupid things like get divorces. And I've been there. I've been there. That's where great Christians do stupid things like leaving their church family. Walking away from God. That's where wonderful Christians do things like stop reading their Bible. I find myself in that moment as well. Another warning sign is not listening to the people that love me. And I know that they love me, but I can't seem to see it. I don't hear it. Or maybe I don't want to. Life has gotten so overwhelming that I'm not listening to the people that I know God has put into my life to help me. I think that self-reliance is the quickest way to burn out. And I've said it every week, and I'll say it again. Oftentimes, stress is a call to humility. It's God saying, humble yourself. You're trying to be me. And you might be a good you, but you're a horrible God. Let me give you the good news this morning. I want to give you some things that have helped me. Very simple, but profound. Things that have changed my life, changed my world, and have saved me from times where I've been completely burnt out. And I've been there. I just want to quit. I'm done. It's got to end right now. I can't take any more. I've had to realize some few things in those moments, and hopefully they'll help you as well. Number one, perhaps the most important, is you're human. You are human. Somebody say, I am human. I get tired. I get sad. I get worn down. I get older. I don't like to admit it, but I'm getting older. My body was designed to break down. The things that I used to be able to carry, can't carry anymore. The things that God used to grace me with the ability to handle, he hasn't graced me with anymore. It is not a sin to be tired. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. That's not sin. I want to take you to this wonderful scripture in John 4, verse 6. It says this, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. I want you to see something maybe you've never seen before about this little scripture. Jesus was tired, and it was just now lunch. Now, I normally get tired about 3:30 or 4. Jesus got tired at lunch. So that tells me I'm doing something even better than he was. Come on, somebody. I made it 3.5 hours longer than Jesus. Jesus got tired at noon. No, but here's a great scripture showing us that Jesus was all God, but he was also all human. He got tired. He had to sit down. He had to take a drink. He had to take a rest. And in that moment, he anoints and christens the very first missionary. Sometimes the most anointed and fruitful thing that you can do is to rest, to sit down, take a break, stop, take a breath, to rest. Jesus didn't quit. He just said, y'all hold on for a second. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to grab a drink. And God uses that to change the world. Jesus sat down, and you can too. Here's the second thing you need to remember. Here's the good news. You're not God. You're human. You're not God. Let me tell you what I mean by that is it's not my job to make it all make sense. It's not my job to make everything fit together. It's not my job to fix it all. It's not my job to carry the weight of the world. That was Jesus' job, and he did a pretty good job at it. I'm not God. I'm not responsible for everyone else. I'm responsible for my walk with him. I'm responsible for my family. I'm not God. I found that, you know, we We grew up on sitcoms. Many of us, and you watch The Cosby Show and Leave It to Beaver, and maybe you watch Growing Pains or all those great 80s shows that I got to miss, but I've caught up on them with a vengeance since then. And it was amazing that every 30 minutes, all the problems got solved. Right? There's a huge problem at the beginning, and 30 minutes later, it's all good. Everything got solved, wrapped up with a pretty little bow, and we'll see you next week. Life isn't that way. I'm not God. I can't solve all the problems of the world in 30 minutes or less. I can't solve my own in 30 minutes or less. But I think we've created this false narrative that we've got to handle it all. We've got to fix it. We've got to make it work. We've got to make everybody happy, and it's overwhelming. It's too much. I can't do it, and neither can you. You're human. You're not God. Number three, you're not your job. You're not your job. I think as a man, sometimes men have a bigger problem with this than even women do. But you know, when we meet someone, hey, my name is Tim. What's your name? And they'll tell me. And the second question is, what do you do? And in that moment, we're not asking, what are you all about? What are the things that you like? We're saying, what do you do for a living? How do you make your money? Because that is your identity. So you don't say, well, I'm a good dad. No one cares. I'm a good husband. Nobody cares. They're asking, what do you do for a living? You want to make that awkward? Have my profession. I'm a pastor. Hey, we got to go. Sweetheart, we want to leave that beer there? We got to go. We'll be back. You're not your job. We were created to work. And we were created to find a sense of purpose in what we do, but never our identity. So before I'm a pastor, I'm a son. Before you are what you are, you're a daughter. And when we realize that the greatest gift God ever gave us was full access to Him, we stop looking for other things to fulfill our purpose. We find who we are in Him. This helps us out in those times of great pressure. We can prioritize and say, wait a minute, my job is not the most important thing here. How I make money is not the most important thing. It's how am I with Him? How's my walk with Christ? Have I been talking to Him? Is He talking to me? This is where the strength comes from when we're facing horrible situations. How's your walk with Christ? Let me give you some practical refreshers, things that will help you, things that maybe you've thought of, maybe some things that you haven't. If you find yourself overwhelmed, I'm going to give you some things that you can do that will help you relieve the pressure until you can make it through. And number one, you have to learn to honor the Sabbath. Let me just say this. There are many, many Christians that take that right out of the Ten Commandments and think it's not important. It's just as important as not murdering people, not lying, not stealing. God put it in His top 10 for a reason. And I don't know if you've noticed, but He puts it towards the top. Honor the Sabbath. God created everything in 6 days and He rested on the seventh, not because He was tired. He did this as a model for you and for me. And if your one day off is filled with doing all the things you didn't have time for to help you with the next 6 days, that's not a Sabbath. That's a slap in the face to God. You were designed to work no more than 6 days. On the seventh day, you need to rest. You were designed to rest. And being rested in that day brings the blessing of God. You're to have a Sabbath, doing something different. There's not a lot of amens on that, but that's okay. It's still the truth. Honor the Sabbath. God's serious about it. He didn't create the Sabbath for Himself. He created it for you. Use it. Number two, what I like to do and when I need the practical refreshing is I talk to people that encourage me. And I find that when people are encouraging me, I start encouraging someone else. And when I get encouraging to someone else, God finds a way to encourage me. It's this beautiful circle of getting around the right people, getting some encouragement. I need it. I need somebody to help me. And sometimes I just need to help somebody else. Get the focus off of me for just a moment and encourage somebody. Help them out. I have weekly appointments with people that encourage me. It's just such a critical part of my life. It keeps me free from burnout that I build it into my schedule. So Thursday at 2 o'clock, every single Thursday, I have a conversation with my spiritual father, and I encourage him. He encourages me. We celebrate the wins. The first thing we start doing is we start celebrating the wins. What's God doing? What are you thankful for? We're going to praise God together. We pray for each other. I've built it into my week. I've built appointments into every single week to make sure that I keep a close watch on my own spiritual temperature. I can't lead you well if I'm not leading myself. And husbands, please listen to me. If your family's burnt out, it starts with you. Lead yourself well. I talk to people that encourage me. Number three, get off your phone. Get off your phone. Get off your phone. Proverbs 26:20 says this, "For lack of wood, a fire goes out." Duh. "And where there is no whisperer, contention dies down." I think your phone whispers to us, "Oh, come see the idiots. Come look on social media, all the dumb people." Now you need to fix them and tell them how they can be smarter. Come see all the problems in the world so you can fix them. Let's add things to your plate that don't belong on your plate. Come look at all the dumb people. Now you need to give them your wisdom. The Bible calls this casting your pearls before swine. Let's be honest. There's a lot of swine on your phone. If you find yourself overwhelmed, get off your phone. Social media is adding things to your plate that you weren't designed to carry. You look at all the different venues for social media, and what you're seeing is a highlight reel of somebody else's perfect life. That's a lie. It ain't perfect, but they only put the things on that we want everyone else to see. And you put all these filters on them, too. You don't really have bunny ears. I know you don't. I've seen you personally. One of the biggest sources of negative influence is in your hand. One of the biggest sources of pressure that you weren't designed to deal with, it's in your hand. I found people that I was shocked. They said, I've got to go to the bathroom, but I can't find my phone. Like, what? When did we get there as a society? Somebody help me find my phone so I can go to the bathroom. Like, seriously? Is this where we've come? The alarm goes off, which is your phone, right? Reach over there, turn it off, and next thing you know, you got sucked into the YouTube vortex, middle of Instagram land. What's going on with the world? What happened while I was asleep? And you've piled things on your plate before you even started the day. We wonder why we're overwhelmed. We're putting things on our plate that God never designed for us to handle. Get off your phone. You're going to find if you take a little break from your phone, let me guarantee you one thing, you're not going to miss it. And number two, they'll still be there when you come back. It won't have gotten any better. Get off your phone. Number four, find your life verses. This is a failure, I think, in a lot of Christian circles. We love to read scripture, but we don't memorize it, and we certainly don't know where it's located. So I want to encourage you to find at least two powerful scriptures where you're opening your Bible and it kind of speaks to you. Memorize not just the scripture, but memorize where it's located, because this is what's going to happen. When you're in the middle of life's overwhelming situations, God's word begins to come out and you know where to find it. And when someone else is walking through what you've just walked through, you can give them where it's located in the Word of God. You need to remember where it is. I wonder, what are your life verses? What are those things for you? Do you know where they're located? Can you find them like this? If you can find your life verses, you can find a way to persevere. But many Christians drop the ball in this area. We know the Word. We don't know where it's at. It's hard to find when the chips are down, when life gets stale, when it's hard. The Word of God is our truth. It's our anchor in the storm. I'm reminded of this in Romans 15, verse 4 and 5. And this is really powerful. I want you to kind of lean into this if you would. It says, "For whatever was written before was written for our instruction, so that through," look at these two things, "our endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we may have hope." Notice how Paul links those two things together. The encouragement of the Scriptures and endurance. They work hand in hand. It says, by the way, "Now may the God of endurance and the God of encouragement grant you agreement with one another according to Christ Jesus." It brings unity. I love that hope and unity can take the place of being overwhelmed. If you could just give me some hope, if we can work together, I can walk through a lot. I can persevere. He's saying, where do you get that from? You get that from the encouragement of the Scriptures and through your endurance. They work hand in hand for that. Number five, we'll close out with this. Be honest in your prayer time. I can't stress this enough. Lots of Christians tell God things that he already knows. and try to pretend like things are fine with the one that made you. Let me just tell you, he does know, and he's waiting for us to be honest with him. Be honest in your prayer time. So I was walking through a terribly overwhelming time. I had been married to my first wife for 13 years. I didn't know at the time that she had become a full-blown addict. So, of course, our marriage was suffering. I didn't know what was happening, but I knew that something was really, really wrong. And so this was a time of great pressure, great anxiety and stress. My marriage is falling apart, and I can't fix it. I'm trying to minister. I'm trying to help God's people, and I'm in a mess. And so I'm begging her to do some marital counseling with me, and she finally says yes. And what we do is we start seeing the marriage counselor separately because we couldn't even be in the same room with each other. And it was bad, and it went from bad to worse. And so I remember the counselor said, you know, Pastor, you've got a lot of anxiety and stress that's just building up inside of you. And I'm sitting there with, you know, one leg shaking and my eyes twitching. I'm like, you think? I feel pretty good. I think I'm okay. No, no, you're not. You know, hair's falling out and you're scratching. And she says, do me a favor. Why don't you get honest with God? I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm a pastor. I'm always honest with God. She's like, no, I don't think so. I said, your honesty is going to relieve a lot of pressure. I'm like, okay, well, how do I do that? I'll be honest with him. I'll pray. He said, no. What I'd like you to do is write a letter to God. We're going to do one of these every single day. I'm like, okay, I'll print something up tomorrow at work. No. By hand. I'm like, by what? Who does that anymore? He said, pen and paper. So I get pen and paper. I'm like, okay, how long does this letter need to be? She said, no, minimum one page front and back. We'll start there. I'm like, I can't. Front and back? Really? I can't just do a list of the 10 things I don't like that he's doing right now. We do that. No, she said, I want you to be honest with him. I'm like, well, who's going to read this? Because let's talk about that first. She said, no, when you're done, we'll burn it together. No one will ever read it. We'll seal it and we'll burn it. I'm like, okay, I might be able to do this. So I found that I started writing. And within about 3 paragraphs, the paper and the ink starts to run because of my tears as I'm pouring out my heart to God. As I'm questioning the things that he's doing, I'm being really brutally honest with him. I began to fill up notebooks with my thoughts, with my prayers, with my worries, my concerns, my stress, my anxiety. And I found that in my honesty, when I really let those things go, I began to feel God's arms come around me and hold me. I began to feel his nearness like I'd never felt before. And when people would ask me, how are you doing now? They could see that something had lifted off of me. And even though I'm walking through an extremely difficult time at the end of my marriage, I still had peace. I don't know how I was doing it except for the fact that I'd found my hope in him. I found encouragement in the scriptures and in my honesty with my Father. I wonder how many people in this place need to be honest with God and really tell him what's going on. When was the last time you sat down and wrote a letter to him? You're making time for everything else. What if the secret to your perseverance and the end of all these issues is just simply your honesty before God? I began to write and write and write and cry and cry and cry. I kind of meet her the next week. She said, okay, you were supposed to write a letter. I'm like, well, I wrote a book. You know, let's burn this thing together. We might need to cut down a few trees because I'm flying through the paper. She said, that's what I thought would happen. How do you feel? I'm like, I feel like I can take it. I can keep going. If that's what I'm talking about. I'm reminded of David in Psalm 32, and we'll close it out with this. There's a powerful chapter that kind of just spoke to me as I was reading it, and I'm hoping that it brings you encouragement as well. It says this, and I love the Message version. I wanted to read you this one. It says, count yourself lucky. How happy you must be. You get a fresh start. Your slate is wiped clean. Count yourself lucky because God holds nothing against you and you're holding nothing back from him. I think many of us want God to hold nothing back from us. But what are you holding back from him? Verse 3, it says, when I kept it all inside, my bones turned to powder. My words became day-long groans. Yep, that was me. It says, the pressure never let up. All the juices of my life dried up. I've never heard anyone say that, but I've never found more descriptive words that described me to a T. I'm dried up. I'm like a prune. Got nothing left to give. Verse 5, then I let it all out. And suddenly the pressure was gone. My guilt dissolved. My sin disappeared. These things add up. Yeah, they do. It says every one of us needs to pray, and when all hell breaks loose and the dam bursts, we'll be on high ground, untouched. I love verse 8. It says, let me give you some sound advice. I'm looking you in the eye and giving it to you straight. Don't be ornery like a horse or a mule that needs a bit and bridle to stay on track. And by the way, don't elbow anyone next to you right now when we read those words. Because it's speaking to you and it's speaking to me. Don't be like a mule. Don't be ornery. No, it says, God defilers are always in trouble, but God affirmers find themselves loved every time they turn around. So celebrate God. Sing together. Everyone, all you honest hearts, raise the roof. I love the message version that says, raise the roof. Get honest before God and then start praising him. Praise him through the storm. Praise him when life gives you lemons. Praise when it's not easy, when it hurts, when it's hard. Find your praise. Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim once again coming to you from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank each of you for listening personally to this message, but I need you to understand that this is not a replacement for a good church home. So if you're ever in the Longview area, we would love to see you and meet you and hear your story and hear what God's doing in your life. So drop by one of our Sunday services. If you want to check us out online, that's perfectly okay as well, highridgelv.com. Let me just talk to you for one last moment about your walk with Christ. Maybe you're watching today and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, if I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't know where my walk with Christ is. I'm not sure if I've asked him in my heart. I'm not sure what happens at the end of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I used to walk with God, but I've gotten away from him. Friend, whether you've never asked Christ into your heart or you've walked away from him, I believe that if you could see it right now, God himself is reaching down his hand to you. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. I found myself in the exact same place many years ago, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that something needed to change. I needed help. Somebody loved me enough to help me. It led me in a simple prayer, and I'd love to have the same wonderful opportunity to do that with you as well. So if that's you today and you've never asked Christ into your heart, or maybe you used to walk with Christ but you've walked away from him and he knows it, you know it, then let me pray this prayer with you. You can say this out loud or in your heart right where you are. I believe that God will hear this prayer. Your life will absolutely change today. So pray with me. Prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came and died but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me. Heal me. Change me. I give myself to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so thrilled about the decision that you just made. Would you do me a favor? Go online and send me a message, if that's okay, highridgelv.com/contact, and click on the tab that says send us a message. Let us know what just happened inside of your heart so we can send you some resources and help you out in your walk with Christ. That would mean a lot to us if you would. I want to say a very special thank you for your generosity, for your tithes and offerings. The way that you guys have financially supported us is just incredible. We could not do it without you. If you'd like to financially support us as well, you can go to highridgelv.com/give if you'd feel so inclined. So once again, thank you for tuning in. We love you. God bless.